You know, the market's free fall has made a lot of things look attractive from a price perspective. But what's attractive at the surface? Well, it's not always attractive when you dig in deeper. That's precisely what they do at New Constructs. And David Trainer is here, and we are heading for trouble. This is the Danger Zone. Welcome to the Danger Zone, everybody, the part of the show where we talk with the experts from New Constructs about what they are seeing. And right now, well, this is the perfect time for their kind of analysis, because as prices have fallen, it's easy to look at things and think, wow, this has to be good. Everything has moved. It's become more affordable. It's become more value priced. It's a bargain. But at New Constructs, well, they evaluate securities differently, where everybody else looks in at the skin deep level and finds stuff that looks good there.
You are so good looking.
At New Constructs, they ask a different question.
Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
It is possible, and that's particularly found out and discovered when you dig in at the bottom, the footnotes level, and you work your way up, which is what they do. If they find out that the numbers you're looking at are misleading, well, if they're misleading in your favor, something is attractive. If they're misleading against you, they are dangerous. And oh, by the way, the attractive and dangerous lists have been changing dramatically. If you want to see them and learn more, go to newconstructs.com, where they blog about their danger zone picks so you can always get more information on the things you hear on the show. On Twitter at New Constructs, David Trainer is president of New Constructs. David, great to have you back on Money Life.
It is great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
We got riskiest ETF dividend yields.
Danger, danger.
The riskiest ETF dividend yields. So the last couple of weeks, we have been looking at some of the riskiest dividend stocks. And it's a pretty simple equation there, because people see dividends going up and they're thinking, like, wow, that looks great. You know, sign me up for that big dividend. You've been talking about how, And Kyle Guskey have been talking about how those dividends at times are illusory, particularly when the underlying stuff doesn't support it. So now we're taking that and translating it to ETFs that buy dividend stocks, and they're not doing their diligence to find the right ones, or what's the problem?
No, of course they're not doing their diligence. How many of these money managers or providers have we seen, do we see, that really do their diligence? I mean, in fact, it's a diamond in the rough, and we do occasionally put particular funds in our opposite of the danger zone, or our long idea category, because they have a good sound methodology for picking stocks, and they execute on that methodology with integrity. You know, these ETFs, you know, it's the same thing we sort of talked about last week, right? I mean, if the stock or the company isn't generating enough money to pay its bills, it's probably not going to be able to pay its ETF or pay its dividend either. And so ETFs that buy a bunch of stocks with really bad core earnings or free cash flow are likely to see a cut or decrease in their dividend, because the underlying companies won't be able to pay their dividends either. So it's the trickle-up effect of the riskiest dividend stocks also applies now to the riskiest dividend ETFs.
At the same time, this market is unusual enough that some folks have been saying, hey, where I wouldn't normally forgive a dividend cut, in this case, you know, if the market beats down the price so much that the dividend becomes unrealistic, they're looking past it. So in your methodology, is there any way to forgive a dividend cut, like is happening in some of these other investors?
You know, I don't know necessarily what we mean by forgive. I think that what we're trying to really highlight and help investors protect themselves against is, you know, piling into stocks, or in this case, this week, ETFs that they think are really attractive because they got a really high dividend yield. For example, I'm looking at three ETFs with dividend yields of 10, 6, and 20%. My point being that, hey, don't trust that dividend yield, because those dividends are not likely to be sustainable.
Yeah, and that actually answers the question, because although you could forgive a company with it, if you've got a fund that's looking at a 20% dividend, you know that they are basically chasing everything that's gone high yield.
It looks that way. I mean, it looks that way. That's a 20%, 6%, 10%. These are big numbers.
And so which funds are these?
You know, it's funny. You know, we've got three here that we focus on, three sort of non-REIT funds, and we have four that are REITs. But all three of these are from Invesco. So the Invesco S&P Small Cap Financials ETF, the Invesco S&P Small Cap Low Volatility ETF, and the Invesco KBW High Dividend Yield Financial ETF. The ticker on the first one is PSCF. The ticker on the second one is XSLV. The ticker on the third is KBWD. And all three of these have significant free cash flow deficits to dividends. So, for example, over the last 5 years, the Invesco S&P Small Cap Financials ETFs, free cash flows have been less than their dividends. The debt deficit is 26% of its enterprise value. So it's like a huge number in terms of how much below the dividend payments the free cash flows have been over the last 5 years. And the other two are at similar levels at 18 and also 26%. So, I mean, they've got nowhere near the cash flows to support the dividends from the underlying holdings. The free cash flow yield of the overall ETF remains negative as well. So the free cash flows just aren't there. You know, I mean, they're not there. So you're going to see dilution in the form of issuing equity to pay for dividends, issuing debt to pay for dividends, or they got to cut the dividend because these are, you know, there's really no other way to get the, you know, to for the money to come from.
Does the same apply? You talked about having several REIT funds. Does the same apply to the at-risk ETF dividend yields on REIT funds?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, you know, the scary thing about the REITs is depending on the kind of REIT it is, you know, it changes everything, right? So, for example, the mortgage REITs who borrow short-term and lend long-term, just taking advantage of that arbitrage. Some of these short-term borrowing markets have locked up, and they have these REITs have seen margin calls because the value of the real estate has come down, and they're not able to get that short-term funding, and that's caused them to force sell assets. That's always a danger in and of itself. So mortgage REITs, you got to be really careful. And in general, with REITs, you need to be careful in understanding the underlying assets or properties that the REITs own. For example, a REIT that invests in commercial real estate that's populated by a bunch of Cheesecake Factory stores, not a good REIT to own, right? Because Cheesecake Factory's already come out and said they're not going to pay their rent. You want to make sure you own ETFs that own REITs that have good underlying properties where we can hope to expect to get some cash flow. So grocery stores, hospitals, essential services properties are probably going to be the kind of REITs they're going to be able to do best.
The report that you've got out mentions a couple. I mean, ultimately, this is a case of, you're not suggesting that people don't pursue dividends, but this is a case where you're getting your dividends from, the source of dividends matters every bit as much in ETFs as it does in stocks. That's the ultimate message here, correct?
Yeah, that's right, Chuck, and that's consistent with our message on a lot of stuff. Look, the devil's in the detail. Don't just chase big themes. Don't just chase big dividend yields and think everything's going to be okay. There's a requirement to be successful in this business, to do real diligence, to do real research. That's a process that we hope to help your listeners do better. But it's necessary. And I think an environment like this highlights the fact that doing diligence is necessary.
Yeah. Don't be fooled by the high dividends. You want to find the right dividends. The ticker symbols on those three funds again, PSCF, XSLV, KBWD. To learn more, to see which REIT funds he was talking about, go to newconstructs.com and look at the blog, because they have the full report there, which includes those things. It's available at newconstructs.com. They're on Twitter at newconstructs. David Trainer, president of New Constructs, thanks as always for joining us. Stay safe. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yep, you too. Thank you, Chuck.
Again, that's David Trainer, everybody. Go to newconstructs.com for more information. All right, we are heading for home on the Monday, April 6th edition of Money Life. Up next, it's the Market Call. We'll be talking more about funds and ETFs with Kevin Miller from the Evaluator Funds.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.
Stay tuned.